Good afternoon, and welcome to Live with Pastor Al. Got a Bible question? Wondering what to make of current events? Call now at 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. Now open your Bibles, open your minds, and join in the conversation with your host, Pastor Al Davis.
Well, good afternoon. Welcome to another edition of Live with Pastor Al. I'm your host, Pastor Al Davis. I'll be with you until almost midnight. I'm not going to be here till midnight. I do that on Sunday nights. I'll be with you until 1 o'clock, or not even 1 o'clock. I'm going to get all twisted around here now. The problem is I was talking with Pastor Lutz on the way out, and you know, he just gets you confused. No, he's a good guy, and I appreciate his program in the last half hour. Hope you were listening. He had an excellent program talking about the thing that's going on with Alistair Begg here in the area. So if you get a chance to listen to that, find that a recording of that, I encourage you to take a listen to that. But this is Live with Pastor Al. We'll be with you until 2 o'clock right here on AM 1220. The Word. I hope you'll be able to stick with us here this afternoon. I want to update you on what happened in Columbus on Wednesday, and then hopefully get back into talking about the Millennial Kingdom and some things we have to look forward there in the Word of God. But let's go ahead and open with a word of prayer first. Heavenly Father, Lord, we pray that you would bless our time together here this afternoon. Pray that you would just watch over us now. We thank you for the victory that we saw in Columbus. We just thank you so much for that, and we know there's going to be challenges yet ahead in this area and other areas. We just pray that you would continue to bless and continue to watch over us, Lord. Help us to make a difference. Help us to be salt and light in the world around us. Help us point people that are searching to Christ. Help us to be an encouragement to others and lift up and glorify Christ in all that we do. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, again, before I get going down here and forget, just a reminder, you can find us online at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. And if you go there, you'll be able to find more information. I have some information there on what happened Wednesday, but you can also listen to past programs. I've got all the way up to January the 21st, this past Sunday, on there. And so you can listen to past programs. Our Sunday, both the 10 o'clock and the 11 o'clock hour are both there. And then we have our Friday night programs. And last Friday, wow, what a difference a week makes. Last Friday, we were dealing with snow and ice and all, and the wind, and just all that stuff that was going on. And by the way, this is the, I think this weekend or yesterday, today, somewhere in this time, is the anniversary of I believe it was the 1978 blizzard. If you remember that, look it up online. We had a series of incredible snowstorms in the late 70s, 1977, 1978, that time frame, 76, I think, even too. And it was so bad that everybody was talking about the Ice Age was coming. There was a program called In Search Of, and I remember Leonard Nimoy, you know, Mr. Spock, was narrating it, and he's on, I think they had some guy on Baffin Island, and he was interviewing and saying, and they believe that the global ice age, or the new ice age, has already started. And interestingly enough, the same guy that he had, the scientist that was there, the climatologist that was talking about the new ice age has come in, has already started, and we need to raise taxes and cut back on how much we drive and energy consumption, all that, and maybe we can stave it off, but it's probably too late. He later on, within 10 years of that, was saying, global warming is coming, and it's probably already too late, but if we raise taxes and cut back on our driving and energy consumption, we may be able to stave off some of it, but it might already be too late. You know, well, he did that because global ice age didn't come. No icebergs in Lake Erie. And boy, what a thaw since last week, though. And I appreciate Pastor Lutz having me come in out of the cold to join him on his program last Sunday, or last Friday. And then, of course, thank him for sticking around with us on our program last Friday as well. So I have both of those programs available on our website at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. And that would be they're listed as the January 19th, part one and part two. And so you can listen to those as well, and had a great time with that. But today, I want to mention a couple of things as well. When we're talking about what's happening, I want to thank everybody that has prayed and contacted their state representatives, state senators, contacted the governor's office in terms of trying to get House Bill 68, the SAFE Act, which was designed to protect Ohio's children from being essentially experimented on and taken advantage of by those that would try to push them into the transgender pipeline with the puberty blockers and the opposite sex hormones and various other medications that they use, and then the surgical treatments in order to turn and of course, it doesn't work, but to turn boys into fake girls and girls into fake boys, and also included protections for women sports that they cannot have transgendered come into their locker rooms and be on their sports team. Where I just heard somebody talking the other day, it sounds too bizarre to make up. I don't think it was in Ohio. I think it might have been California. But a 50-year-old man identified as a 17-year-old girl and was allowed to play or to be on their swim team or something like that. That's just ridiculous. You just can't hardly believe this stuff. But thankfully, the Senate overrode the governor's veto. Of course, the SAFE Act had been passed by the House, then passed by the Senate with a few modifications, reapproved by the House, sent to the governor's office. He had 10 days to either sign it, veto it, or let it pass into law without his signature. He was encouraged by all of the Republican officials, pretty much the whole of the Republican, and the statistics showed about 70% of Ohioans are against all of this trans surgery and puberty blocking and all this sort of stuff that's going on. And so the governor ignored all of that. Instead, he listened to the people who were lining his pockets with campaign contributions and who knows what else, and he decided that he had to veto the bill. And it went to the House. The House 2 weeks ago overrode the veto. A number of trans activists, LGBTQ activists, stormed out, jeering and insulting and shouting obscenities. The Senate was, in some senses, a little more subdued inside, but when we went down there, they had a demonstration outside, which they did not have 2 weeks ago, and they actually had it to where they were outside the windows of the Senate chambers, and a guy with a loudspeaker was out there pointing a loudspeaker up at the Senate chambers, just shouting various things and trying to affect the proceedings inside. There was a large number of transgenders that was inside the Senate chamber in the visitors area, and it was kind of interesting that God has a sense of humor. There was a group of young men and women that was there, and when I talk about a group, I'm talking about 20 or more easily, that were represented. They were a male and female competition team of a junior ROTC program, school district here in Ohio somewhere, and they were brought in to recognize them because both the male team and the female team won in national competition amongst a bunch of junior ROTC teams and junior ROTC. The high school equivalent of the college ROTC program, and for young men and women who were looking at going into the military. And they were in there to receive recognition for their national award, both the male team and the female team. And talk about God having a sense of humor. They were all there, all the male team, they had their JROTC shirts on, and on the front it said male. And it was one color, and then the women, they all had their shirts on, JROTC shirts on, and it said female. and it was a different color. And here's all of the LGBTQ activists having to see, you know, these young men and women that were very distinctly organized in a male team and a female team, even advertising on their shirts, you know, this is the male, this is the female. Ironic in light of the vote. But during the vote, we had several incidences. We had one woman, Senator Rogner, got up and she was speaking about why the Senate should override the governor's veto. In the middle of her comments, some activist jumps up, raises her hands up, and starts singing, "Jesus loves the little children." You think, well, what's wrong with that? She must be standing up for the children, wasn't she? Well, she had lines in there that I've never heard before, and you probably haven't either. Among them was, "All the trans children of the world." And it was a song that was supposed to disrupt and encourage people to not override the governor's veto. Well, she was hustled out by security, and toward the end, there was another woman who jumped up, and she was in Muslim garb, you know, with the headdress and all that sort of stuff. And I say that because, maybe it's my misunderstanding, but I don't think you see too much transgenderism in the Islamic community if you go over into the Muslim world. They're really not very friendly towards LGBTQ individuals over there. And you can look some of those things up online, how they treat them. But anyway, she got up and said something, and she was hustled out. And then the vote finally was taken, and they voted... They voted to overturn the bill, or I'm sorry, the veto. And I believe it was I had the number here ahead of me at one point. I believe it was 23 to 9. And this was the same vote that passed the bill in the first place in the Senate. And so that means 90 days from this past Wednesday, the SAFE Act should go into effect, protecting children across Ohio. And again, if you contacted your state senator and urged them to vote to override the veto, please contact them and thank them for what they did. The activists all trooped out, but they didn't go out. They went out silently. They didn't go out jeering and shouting like they had done in the House. Security was tight. They had a lot of security people in there. We had a victory. And what a blessing. What a blessing. I mean, we've had some defeats here recently, the pro-life side, the pro-family, pro-God side of things. And so it's nice to have a victory here. Excuse me. So it's nice to have a victory there. So continue to pray. I'm sure there's probably going to be some kind of court challenges or something like that. But in the meanwhile, thank God and pray, or just thank God and when you pray for helping this to get passed. Well, moving on, let's get back to talking about the Millennial Kingdom and some things that he'd been talking about trying to get through here on Friday afternoons. And I was going to talk about this a little bit last week, but with Pastor Lutz and I combining our programs, we just talked about some other topics and things like that, and I think that'd be hopefully be a blessing to you if you take a listen to that. But I wanted to get back to this, and as I've been going through this, I've been adding a lot of things because initially I was kind of leading up to the Millennial Kingdom. I just mentioned the Millennial Kingdom there, and also leading up to eternity in the future. And it occurred to me as I was looking at this, we talked about how the millennium is going to occur after the tribulation period, the 7-year tribulation period. The Lord returns, and just to give you a real, I'm not going to go through all the update or recap everything, but the believers right now in the world, if you know Christ as your Savior today, before the tribulation begins, you and I will be caught up to be with the Lord in the air. The Bible talks about that in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, 1 Corinthians chapter 15. last half of those chapters. There's other places talking about it as well. And then after we are out of the world, in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, it talks about the mystery of iniquity that's being hindered right now. And that hindrance will be released because the Spirit of God, his ministry that he currently has working through believers, will change. And we are sealed as believers. When you put your faith in Christ, you're sealed until the day of redemption, and he'll never leave you nor forsake you. The Spirit of God is in you, and it's the earnest of our salvation. So the Spirit of God's not going up to heaven without us. He's not going to leave us. He's not going to forsake us. So we're caught up to be with the Lord in the air. We go to be with Jesus in heaven. And during that time that we're there, the Antichrist will be revealed. The mystery of iniquity will be able to come to fruition. And the one world government under the Antichrist will be set up. At the end of the 7-year tribulation period, the Lord will return to the earth with the armies of heaven accompanying him, and that will be the believers that have been caught up with him, as well as angels, Old Testament saints, and others of that nature. And we will return with him, and he will set up his millennial reign on earth. We read about that in Revelation chapter 19 and chapter 20. And question that comes sometimes is, well, who all's going to be there? Well, obviously, we're going to be there. We're going to be there in our resurrected bodies. But we also, if you remember, we talked a couple of months back, this is before Christmas, we were talking about what will happen to the Jewish people during the time of the tribulation, and the Bible indicates in Romans chapter 11 that all Israel one day will be saved, and then you compare that to Zechariah chapter 12, 13, in that area, you find out that one-third of the Jewish people who were on earth at the beginning of the tribulation will survive the tribulation, and they, as a group, basically will see that Jesus is the Messiah and embrace him as their Messiah. And these are the ones who will live. The Bible indicates two-thirds of the Jewish people that are alive at the beginning of the tribulation will be dead by the end of the tribulation. So these Jewish believers who now know that Jesus is their Messiah will welcome him and embrace him as their Messiah and their coming king, and they will physically, bodily go into the millennial kingdom, but they will be like you and I are now. They will be saved, but they will still be in a body that has a sin nature. You and I that have been caught up to heaven, we have a new body, and that new body, we have no sin nature. So we will come back to the earth in a new body to spend that 1,000 years ruling and reigning with Christ in his kingdom without a sin nature. But these individuals will go into the millennium with a sin nature. There's also a multitude of non-Jewish believers who survived the tribulation, and they also will go into the tribulation as we are today, in a body with a sin nature. Now, you and I that come back with the Lord after the after being caught up into heaven during the tribulation period, you and I, when we come back for the millennial reign, we will not be producing children. However, the people who come to Christ during the tribulation period and go into the millennial kingdom because they survive physically, and they will have families, and they will have children, and their children will be like we are right now. They will be born with a sin nature. Remember when Paul wrote in Romans that by one man sin entered into the world and death by sin. You know, we see the sin nature passed down from father to children. And so these people born in the millennial kingdom, they also will have children. They'll grow up and have children. Their children will grow up and have children. During that period of time, Bible indicates that they'll have the long ages like they did prior to the flood, where people will live potentially the entirety of the millennial kingdom. And they will be struggling like you and I are every day with their sin nature. Some people will never submit themselves to Christ, and some people will. And so we're going to talk about what happens there, and I don't know if we'll get to it today, but I wanted to make mention of something that's very interesting that's going to take place, is that Jesus, when he returns at the time of the millennial reign of Christ, or the setup his millennial kingdom, when he returns, it's kind of interesting in Isaiah chapter 11, where it starts out in verse 1 saying, "And there shall come forth a rod out of the stem of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots, and the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord, and shall make him of quick understanding in the fear of the Lord, and he shall not judge after the sight of his eyes, neither reprove after the hearing of his ears, but with righteousness shall he judge the poor, and reprove with equity for the meek of the earth, and he shall smite the earth with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips shall he slay the wicked, and the righteous shall be the girdle of his loins, and faithfulness the girdle of his reins. The wolf also shall dwell with the lamb, and the leopard shall lie down with the kid." The kid refers to a young goat. "And the calf and the young lion and the fatling together." Of course, the fatling there would be any reference to a calf or a lamb or a kid, a young goat. "And a little child shall lead them." Continues, "And the cow and the bear shall feed, and their young ones shall lie down together, and the lion shall eat straw like an ox. And the suckling child shall play in the hole of an asp," that's a poisonous snake, "and the weaned child shall put his hand on the cockatrice den." And of course, the cockatrice den, that would be a poisonous snake there, not the mythical cockatrice, but this would be a reference to a poisonous snake to begin with. "And so they shall not hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountain, for the earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. And in that day there shall be a root of Jesse, which shall stand for an ensign of the people. To it shall the Gentiles seek, and his rest shall be glorious." What he's talking about here is the millennial kingdom. And this is an interesting time. Jesus is going to rule and reign from Jerusalem, from the rebuilt temple. And I don't have time to get into description of the temple and all the details with it, but there will be a temple built for the tribulation period. It's going to suffer much damage. Some people would say, well, the temple during the millennial will be a completely new one, like a fourth temple, or it'll be a renovation and expansion of the tribulation temple, much like Herod renovated and expanded the second temple in Jerusalem. But Jesus is going to rule and reign from there, and he is going to oversee the world during this time, and some aspects of the curse that's on the world right now are going to be gone. Animals, the wild animals, they're not going to be a danger. The poisonous snakes, not going to be a danger. The cow and the bear feeding together. You've got the wolf and the lamb, the leopard and the kid, and the calf and the young lion, all of them together, and the lion eating straw like the ox. You know, I know I don't have time for this right now, but if you look in the Bible, prior to the fall, every animal essentially was a vegetarian. Say, well, Pastor Al, how can that possibly be? Well, having studied biology, having studied mammalogy, which is study of mammals, it's and also ornithology, which is study of birds and a number of different things in college. Let me just say this: the dental, the teeth, and the digestive system of what we would call a carnivore, you know, like a lion or a wolf, is very similar to the dental structure and the digestive system of what we would call a fructivore. Fructivore meaning a fruit eater. And I'll give you an example. When my wife and I were missionaries in the Samoan Islands, we had papaya trees growing beside our house, and every once in a while we'd look out and see the fruit bats up in the tree eating our papayas. And they're sometimes called flying foxes because when you look at their face, it looks like the face of a fox. A pointy snout for reaching into the fruit, sharp pointy teeth for tearing off pieces of the fruit, claws on their feet to hang on. So a number of animals that they're carnivores today after the curse and everything would have been possibly fructivores and some other things. Like I said, it's a whole other area that we don't have time to get into, but we see some order restored to creation during the millennial kingdom. We see the new temple. We see Jesus ruling and reigning over the earth during that time. What a glorious time. It'll be like a utopia on earth, but there's still going to be some wickedness there because some people still have that sin nature. You know, we don't have time to cover much more in the millennium today, but you know, you can be there. You can have a reservation if you trust Christ as your Savior. If you know Jesus as your Savior, you're going to be there. I hope you'll be there. Well, thanks for listening. Join us again next time. God bless.
You've been listening to Live with Pastor Al. To learn more about Pastor Al Davis and Live with Pastor Al, visit our website at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. You can also listen to past programs at livewithpastoral.com. Read articles on a variety of topics by Pastor Al at livewithpastoral.com. Pastor Al Davis invites you to join him at the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio, Sunday morning at 11 or Sunday evening at 6. Or you can join us for our Friday night Bible study tonight from 7 to 9 p.m. The Bible Baptist Church meets at 4174 Wheatley Road, Suite 200 in Richfield every Sunday at 11 a.m. and 6 p.m., and then every Friday at 7. You can contact Pastor Al by writing Pastor Al Davis at Post Office Box 452, Richfield, Ohio 44286. Or you can email Pastor Al at pastoral@maplenoel.us. Join us for more live conversation this Sunday night from 10 to midnight. And again, next Friday afternoon from 1:30 to 2, right here on AM 1220, The Word. Late Night Live with Pastor Al is brought to you by the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio.